In the book of Deuteronomy, it says among the Jews that whenever you lend somebody money as a brother, you don't charge him any interest. And Nehemiah comes back and says, didn't you read the law of God? But the people put the other people in bondage, you see, and it was not right.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. In Raul's many years of ministry, he's seen the destruction of unity among believers, and one of his chief goals is to encourage you in living out your faith in a way that honors God as you build others up. For a free DVD of Raul's testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We're glad you've joined us for our continuing study of Nehemiah. As Raul explores how infighting derailed the Israelites' efforts to rebuild Jerusalem, you'll get a challenge to honestly evaluate how well you treat your fellow believers. God has called His church to unity, and His desire is for each of us to put others before ourselves. Stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio for encouragement to pursue peace as you build God's kingdom. Today's lesson is titled Opposition from Within. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 5, here's Raul Reese.
This morning, we want to see the opposition that comes from within the camp. Times were very tough. The enemy was oppressing. The enemy was harassing. And the people of God were only trying to fulfill what had been placed in the heart of Nehemiah, his servant. And let me say that when God builds a ministry, when God builds His church, it is always through people that God has called to have a vision. Such men as Nehemiah. And when God calls an individual, God also will call other individuals and other people to be in help to that ministry. It is never the call of God to depress or to destroy or to divide that ministry. It is always to build up. Always to unify. And here we have a situation in the book of Nehemiah where the poor are being oppressed. Opposition comes to the poor from the people that have money. Now that is not to get down on people that have money. But the problem really doesn't begin with people that have money. The people goes back further than the book of Nehemiah. It goes back to the time of the book of Deuteronomy when God was speaking to His people, especially in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, where God was speaking about the blessings and the cursings of God upon His people. And God had declared some of the things, if you do these things, then I will bless you. But if you don't do these things, then I will bring a curse upon you. The reason that the opposition came within the church here, within the building of the walls of Jerusalem, among God's people, and the problem was greed. People were oppressing the poor. For example, in verses 1 through 5, let's read and see what he says, and you'll see the categories here. And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against the Jewish people, their brothers. For there were those who said, we are sons and our daughters are many, and therefore let us get grain that we may eat and live. And there were some also who said, we have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine. And there were also those who said, we have borrowed money from the king's tax on our lands and vineyards, and yet now our flesh and the flesh of our brothers and our children as their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and our vineyards. And then I, Nehemiah, became very angry when I heard the outcry of these words. First of all, you have The problem that we find here is the complaint of a food shortage among the people. You have those in verse 2 which were being oppressed, the merchants and the laborers. In verse 3, the farmers. And then in verse 4, you have those that were being troubled by taxation as they were being overtaxed by the people. They were being charged 1% per month. 12% was the interest per year in their taxation in borrowing money from the tax of the king at Xerxes just to keep living. The problem comes, turn to Malachi chapter 3. Verse 7. Now let me give you the background. Remember, the children of God had just come out of Babylon. They had been released. And Ezra, the scribe, got the people to rebuild the temple. And then God raised up Nehemiah to begin to rebuild protection for the city and for the temple so that God's people would not be invaded by the enemies that were there in the land. Tobiah, Sanballat, all of the Geshurites, all of the people around the area. In the previous chapter, they had been oppressed by opposition as they came and they ridiculed and they surrounded the city and put a threat upon them. And yet God chose Nehemiah to bring the people to nothing through his wisdom and through his knowledge. Here in chapter 3 of the book of Malachi, we go back, I told you before, the blessings and the cursings of Deuteronomy 28. Now we see the problem here, especially with the book of Haggai, as the people had come back to the land. Verse 7. And yet, from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances or my laws and have not kept them. Repent or return to me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we repent? And then God says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you, God? And God says, in tithe and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And this is the only place in the whole Bible where God tests you and tests me. In giving, he says, and test me, and notice again, and try me now in this, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out to such a blessing to you that there may not be enough room for you to receive it. Now, Nehemiah chapter 5. The opposition came from within the people. The people were in a great famine, not enough food. There was a shortage of food. So the people, the rich that had a lot of money, were taking the people and they were asking the people to mortgage their fields and their vineyards and their homes just so they could buy food. The second problem is they were charging exorbitant interest rates to the people and giving them a loan. And then the third problem was the failing of their creditors. They would take away their properties and take their children and sell them into slavery. Now, God already had warned them about this. And the problem now is that the people are all into themselves. They really have not been giving to God what belongs to God. Now, let me say this, that I'm not making an appeal for money. You know me. If you've been here long enough, you know how I feel about that. But I want to educate you this morning in something that is important. I feel that, first of all, the Church of Jesus Christ has misrepresented Christ, especially in our giving to God. You hear all the time an appeal for money through radio and television. And people have really become hardened in their ears and their hearts to the appeals of money because of the scandals that we have seen in previous years. Because the first thing when you talk about being a Christian, immediately people, the first thing they think that comes to their mind is money. And yet, in becoming educated in the Word of God, We understand that in the Old Testament, God was teaching his people that God's people needed to give to God what was God's. And yet, in our mentality, the way we've been kind of trained in the late 70s and the 80s and the 90s is that the more we give to God, the more money he's going to give us or the more material things I'm going to possess. That's not true. You've been deceived in that area. Because God doesn't teach the more you give, the more you get. We have a responsibility to give God what belongs to God because that is God's. Now, what does God want me to give to him? Remember, he only is asking you to give willingly and hilariously. And in the Old Testament, they were to give 10%. And as you give your tithe to God, which is 10%, imagine he allows you to keep 90% of everything you possess. To me, that is greater responsibility. Because as I give 10% to God, then he makes me a steward of 90% of my income. And you see, there would have never been a problem here in chapter 5 if the people, not only the poor, but the rich, would have given to God what was God's. But the problem came because of greed. The people that had a lot of money saw an opportunity to make more money from their brothers that were poor. In the repossession of their vineyards, in the taking of their children and enslaving them and making money off of them. And let me say to you very clearly that God doesn't need our help. We need his help. And it seems that anytime I tune in to something, when I hear the appeals for money, it seems that the appeals are always, the emphasis is that how God is poor and how God needs your finances. And I feel that that's a misrepresentation of God's word. Because God is not poor. We are poor. And that's why Paul, in the book of Acts, the only statement that Jesus gives there in red lettering, he says it is more blessed to give than to receive because God doesn't want you to give out of an evil heart or of grudgingly. But he wants you to give hilariously to the work of God. The problem here is that these people were not given to God. And God had brought a famine to them. And they were still arguing. They were still striving. As the rich began to take advantage of the poor. But thank God for Nehemiah. Thank God for Nehemiah. Nehemiah got angry. And he said, wait a minute, you guys. This is not right. And check this out. Verse 6. And then I, Nehemiah, became very angry. And when I heard the outcry or the wailing of these words, the people were wailing in sorrow because of the opposition. And after serious thinking, now check this out, a good leader is not going to make immediate rash decisions. He took some time to think on how to answer the problem. So he says, and after serious thinking, I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said to them, each of you is exacting, notice, heavy, heavy taxing from his brothers or interest. So I called a great assembly against them. Nehemiah says, what you're doing is not right. Why? Because what's biblical in the book of Deuteronomy, it says among the Jews that whenever you lend somebody money as a brother, you don't charge him any interest. And Nehemiah comes back and says, didn't you read the law of God? Where the rich were not to tax anybody or charge heavy interest for the loans, but they were to give the people and to help the people that couldn't make it, and then God would bless them. That's why Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. But the people put the other people in bondage. You see? And it was not right. And then watch this, verse 8. And then I, Nehemiah, said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed. Notice, we have purchased our Jewish brethren who were sold to the Gentiles or to the heathens. He says, don't you remember how God brought you out of Babylon and he purchased you? Now indeed, will you even sell your brothers? Or should they be sold to us? Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. You know why? Because Nehemiah was right. What was Nehemiah doing? Just like I'm doing this morning. I am teaching you. I am instructing you. It is not right for us to spend everything on ourselves as we see other people in need. It's not right. There are people that are in tremendous needs, missionaries in tremendous needs. And so Nehemiah wants to make sure they understand the word of God as we go back into the Old Testament laws, because they were living according to the Old Testament. And then check this out, verse 9. And then I said, what are you doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations and our enemies? You know, he says, don't you think that you should have fear that we are representatives of God's kingdom? What's going to happen when the heathens hear that we are robbing God from offering and tithing? When we're supposed to be God's people, he says, where is your fear for God? Nehemiah is rebuking them in love. And he's saying, where is your servanthood? Where is your love for God and for the people? And then verse 10. And then I also with my brothers and my servants, am I lending them money and grain? Please let us stop this high taxation or high interest. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses, and also a hundredth of their money and their grain, and the new wine and the oil that notice that you have charged them. Hey, make it right. Repent. Give it all back to them. Good wisdom here from the teacher. In verse 12. Notice, he moves into repentance. And so they said, we will restore it and will require nothing from them. Now, listen to this. The moment you and I repent in our hearts and we want to do what's right with God, guess what? God's going to honor it. Many of you in the past, and you're thinking already for next year how you're going to cheat in your income tax. You're already thinking. Not only your taxes, but how about in your giving to God and in helping other people? You see, the greatest record is kept in heaven. And the problem in the book of Haggai is that the people were making a lot of money. They were sowing and reaping. But remember, God says there's a hole in the bottom of the bag. The more you make, the less you have. Why? Because you have robbed God. Their priorities were messed up. They were not seeking first the kingdom of God. They were seeking their own things first. And God says it can work like that. God has to be first in everything in life. And then in verse 12, he says, and so they said, we will restore it. And we will do as you say. And then I call. And you see, there is a new wine. We will do as you say. Which means what? The old wineskins repented. And then he says, and then I called to the priest and require an oath from them that they would do according to their promise. You know what? He made them sign a contract just to make sure they wouldn't go back on their word. So they wrote it out and they had to sign it. And then Nehemiah stands up and he shook off the fall of my garment. And the shaking off of the garment, he got up and he shook off his garment. It was a sign to them of distaste, but it was a sign. Nehemiah standing up saying, look, if you don't keep your word and you don't do what God says, may God shake you off of the kingdom and of the work of God. May God take everything away from you. Watch this, the rest of the verse. And so I shook them out, my fall and my garments, and said, so may the God shake you out, each man, from his house and from his property, who does not perform the promise, even thus may he be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, Amen. And they praised the Lord. And then the people did according to the promise. Isn't that neat? The people repented. And they went back where? To the wall, to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And then check this out. In verse 14 to the end of the chapter, we have Nehemiah's example. Nehemiah's example, as we saw the obedience of the people, the faithfulness of the people. Verse 14. And moreover, from that time on, I was appointed to be the governor in the land of Judah from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years. And I, nor my brothers, ate the governor's, nor the provision from the king's table. But the former governors who were before me laid the burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver, yes. And even this servant bore rule over the people, but I did not do so. Why? Because I feared the Lord God. Isn't that neat? You know what Nehemiah went to do? He took from his own savings and he began to support some of the people so that there wouldn't be any disunity but unity. Isn't that neat? The heart of Paul and the heart of Nehemiah. A real servant of God. And then verse 16, and then indeed, I also continued the work of the wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered together for the work. God brought the unity, but also God brought great work to the conclusion, the finishing of the walls of Jerusalem. As they all unified together, except to walk together, then they can't agree together. And then at my table were 150 Jews and rulers besides those who came to us from the nations around us. And what does he do? He gives you a testimony that as God leads, God provides. Not one time did Nehemiah have anything missing from his table as God provided for all the people that he entertained throughout the time of the rebuilding of the walls. God provided for him.
Today, as you consider the destructive nature of division within the church, we challenge you to take an honest look at your relationships with your fellow believers. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson, Opposition from Within, is available as a podcast along with all of the previous lessons we've aired from Nehemiah by using iTunes or Spotify. Maybe you'd like to get a physical copy of this lesson to keep or give to someone. We'll send that to you for a gift of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the lesson titled Opposition from Within. We'd also like to tell you about a resource that points to the empowerment that comes from serving the Lord in true humility. Simply titled Obey, this new 4-CD audio series from Rawl will encourage you to ask God for His mind and heart as you spend more regular time in His Word. You'll see that when you commit to following Him in selflessness and faith, He can bless you richly in a life of kingdom-building service. Contact us today to purchase Rawl's all-new 4-CD series, Defining Your God-Given Call to Obedience. To place your order, visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you this resource for a gift of $19 or more. That number again is 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order the resource by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We'd also love to tell you about several more ways that you can connect with us here at Somebody Loves You Radio. For convenient, round-the-clock access to scriptural wisdom, you'll want to download our free app to your iPhone or Android. In addition to biblical teaching, you'll find a user-friendly Bible reading plan and convenient digital Bible studies. Plus, you'll want to join Rawl on his YouTube channel for Straight Talk, a Bible-based Q&A program with lots of helpful guidance for your life. Straight Talk streams every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. And don't forget, your contributions are a tangible way you can support this ministry and ensure others are able to hear about the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Join us next time for more in this series in Nehemiah. If you find yourself under attack for your work in building God's kingdom, you'll be encouraged to seek renewal from the wisdom and truth of God's Word. Here's Rawl now once again to wrap up today's lesson.
Verse 18. And now we come to the conclusion, and check this out. And now, that which was prepared daily was one oxen, six choice sheep, also a fowl were prepared for me, and once every 10 days an abundance of all kinds of wine. Yet in spite of this, I, Nehemiah, did not demand the governor's provisions, because the bondage was heavy on these people. Notice, he trusted God for the things of God. I didn't go to the king and say, King, we're broke. He went to the King of Kings and he told his needs. And check this out, verse 19, his prayer. And he says, now God, remember me, my God, for good according to all that I have done for this people. Now remember, he's praying according to the Old Testament. Because in the New Testament it says what? Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.